Hi there, good evening everybody. It's time for State of Mind. And we welcome all the listeners, of course, on live and right here on Voice of Barbados as we continue again to help you deal with the changing times, this special time, this different time, even difficult time of COVID-19. And as always, we bring together every Thursday at this time some very important people who can help us better deal with the challenge of what they're calling now a new normal. We've got community consultant psychologist with us again, Dr. June Price Humphrey. And joining us for the first time today, we got Miss Latifa Hines, a clinical psychologist, and of course, part of our team, Crystal J. Paul. And in a little while, John Yard will be joining us. Let me welcome the ladies, first of all, to our program. Hi, and welcome.
Good afternoon.
Well, we are going to start with looking at this whole question of adjustment to what we are being told today are major transitions, things that are different from what they were this time last year. Indeed, only a couple of months ago. What would you say would be some of those major adjustments? You know, people are experiencing different things in their life. But maybe we can talk with Dr. June first. Dr. June Price Humphrey, when you look at what's been happening around here in the last couple of weeks, what would you say would be some of the major challenges, the major adjustments that people have to make? Welcome.
Thank you again. I would say first on my list would be the uncertainty. Prior to, let's say, March, you sort of had an idea of how society ran. You know that supermarkets were open at a certain time and post offices were open, and you knew how to arrange your life accordingly. Then all of a sudden, it was like the rug was just yanked out from under you. So one of the things people are struggling with is the uncertainty. Every few weeks, something changes. Every few weeks, we have to adjust to a new way of doing things. There's constant discussion on whose plan is better, which plan isn't working, which arrangement is the best and isn't, and who is suffering and who is struggling from the fallout. And so definitely uncertainty is one of the major things we have to deal with at this time. And this uncertainty therefore extends to all of the topics we may discuss today, like job insecurity, not knowing which we discussed before, not knowing how to navigate your children at school, not knowing whether or not next week the supermarket will have your favorite brand of cornflakes versus whether or not you will have money to buy anything at all. It's just one thing after another. And it's very difficult to cope when things are changing quite so rapidly.
And I want to bring in here right away clinical psychologist Ms. Latifa Hines. Any thoughts on... Hi, welcome. Any thoughts right away as how we can start getting persons thinking about change? Because that is the hardest thing for a lot of people to even start to imagine. How do we get that across to Bajans? Look, this is a time of change.
So, as Dr. Humphrey mentioned, and uncertainty is not comfortable. No one likes to know that we know what's happening next. So accepting that this is the new normal is the first step. To accept, okay, this is what I have to adjust with. And in order to do that, we need to see which things we have in our control and see what things we don't have in our control. So, yes, it might change every week, but keeping abreast of what the change is, so knowing which day your letter is, knowing which day you will be able to bank, which day you might be able to go to the post office, try to make plans, be more flexible in your planning instead of, thinking, okay, this is how I accustomed doing it and this is how I want to do it. Know that, okay, I might have to put in gas on mornings instead of nighttime like I used to. Knowing that maybe I might not get the bumblebee tuna like Dr. Humphrey had mentioned, getting your brunch, but you might have to, try brunch with this thing. Being a lot more flexible accepting that this is for a time. It may be a long time, but it is for a time. As anything in life is, you need to adjust to the new normal in flexibility. Accepting it is that.
Well, good evening, ladies. John Yard here from Life 97.5. Hey. Also want to say to our listenership, hey, Krista J, to our listenership over at Life, you can WhatsApp us your questions at 2-4-2-5-6-5-4-3-3. I'm looking at the topic transition, adjusting to major transitions, and my mind is jumping immediately to that group of people who are accustomed to a routine or who function best with a routine or with a structure, and that has been thrown right through the window, where, like we've been mentioning, change ever so often, have been changing ever so often. What about that person? For myself, I'm flexible. I can roll with the punches. I'll figure things out as they go. But that person who thrives, who needs order to really operate at their maximum, what about that person in this space?
Many persons are find themselves in that role. And even those of us who are flexible, we still like to know that we can be flexible about the things we want to be flexible about. But the human brain needs a little bit of predictability. You need to know that your home is in the same place you left it, and your children are where you left them.
That's right.
And even if it is the flexibility to come home at 5 o'clock in the afternoon versus midnight, your house is still there.
Right.
There are some people for whom major things have suddenly been yanked out from under them. So what we want to encourage those persons is that if routine is one of those things that was yanked away from you, you thrived on routine, it is possible, even within all of this instability, to find a new routine. It may take a little tweaking. You still need to be able to say to yourself, look, the old way isn't working. It either isn't going to work because it actually adds more stress. Say you want to get out the house at 6 o'clock. That is your routine, to be first on the road. But the government says the curfew is 5 or the curfew was 6. Well, therefore, it's just not going to be feasible. But if you say to yourself, okay, within these parameters, I will leave home at this time, or I will have breakfast at this time, or I'm going to arrange my day in such a way so that you still have a type of routine that you can rely on, if that is your personality, but it just will not be the same as the one you had previously. So there's still ways of doing that. And in fact, for some persons, that it will be necessary in order to maintain their mental health, because the uncertainty can be very disorienting. So even for those who don't see themselves as routine people, there was a routine in your life before, and one of the ways of getting through this is to make a new normal.
Krista J?
Yes, sir.
I was just about to bring you in because I know that you can make a valuable input right here.
Well, I was just about to say, even about those people who have children who are going back to work, but those children still have to be at school online at home. You know, maybe in this case it would mean having granny come over or taking the children to granny, and you have to plan for that extra time in the morning, as Dr. Price Humphrey was just talking about the routine and setting the routine and so on. You know, that would take some adjustment in the morning, whereas, you know, for a few weeks you were able to maybe sleep a little later, and then the children would have school. You know, you have to wake up at 6 o'clock, but then now you have to adjust, or readjust, I should say, to get the children ready to get them over to granny's house. You know, that is definitely a transition as well, coupled with the job insecurity, because you're going back to the job, but you're not sure what's going to be happening at this time. You know, it's still a bit iffy. As to whether the revenue will be coming in, or maybe you have your own business and you're wondering what's going to be happening hereafter, you know. But that definitely takes some adjusting of the mind, you know, in order to bounce back to the new norm, so to speak. And of course, everybody's wondering, what will the new norm, quote unquote, be? Because yes, we've become accustomed to a certain way of living the past few weeks, but what will happen here on. So that will just really, really take a conditioning of the mind in order. Obviously the experts can more, you know, speak to this, but it would take an adjustment of the mind in order for it to be lived out in reality.
Is that going to be easy, Latifah?
it's not going to be easy at all. It's going to be a really hard thing to adjust to. But I think that one way of accepting it is to remind yourself, okay, this is how it is right now. And people who like routine, they can start on Sunday night and sit down, write a list, what I'm doing this week, take it off, trying to adjust until it comes naturally.
What about those people? I mean, Common Entrance has been pushed back. So have CAPE and CXC. You know, normally we're used to having summer begin at a certain time. Now it's going to begin later. We're not sure if there's going to be summer camp or VBS or the case, as the case may be. What do you say to those parents who have to assist those children with that pushback now, that transition?
So, well, no, it has changed completely from where we would have been on summer, having summer camp. I think, like, right now, since they're out of school, I don't know how the ministry is going to go forward in that way. But keeping busy and keeping the children busy in a different way, like maybe having virtual summer camp, virtual Bible school can work, but for the children with Common Entrance, I know that is probably causing lots of anxiety for the children themselves. So being able to cope with that, reminding your children that this is something that is actually bigger than them, tell them what's going on, keep reassuring your children that they have the confidence to continue to complete the exam. And same with the CAPE exam. So in this case, parents have to work really hard into building mentally strong children to remind them that they do have the ability to cope with this.
I'm wondering regarding what I vaguely remember something called an adjustment disorder, persons who have a hard time really just settling down. What about that person who has to face all of these changes, and they're challenged in this particular regard? What about that person?
Well, you mentioned the phrase adjustment disorder, and an adjustment disorder is more than just a sense of stress. That is the point beyond which a person is unwell in some way.
Right.
They're either depressed, anxious, acting out. So some persons may be very irritable or angry at times. So an adjustment disorder is more than just a mild tension.
Right.
And if it gets to that point, it usually does require professional intervention. But what I can say is that if it is an adjustment disorder, it persists as long as the issue is still there or until the person acquires a new coping and adaptive way of handling things. And part of that process is, first of all, allowing them to recognize and put in the past and grieve for the things that have changed and the things they've lost, whether it is the home, whether it is a relationship, whether it is a job, because there is a sense of loss there. Then, added to that, we encourage persons to see themselves in a different light. So you considered yourself the wife of, or the husband of, or the employee of, or the owner of such and such a business, and now that sense of identity has been taken away because the business has closed, or the relationship has ended, or a relative has passed away, whatever the case may be. So we encourage persons to recognize within themselves that your identity goes beyond this thing that you have lost, and you can create other identities and really tap into your other strengths while accepting and grieving for the losses that you've just gone through.
That's good. Yeah. I was on the road today, and just for a brief while, and I noted that there were a number of new vendors on the road selling fruits and vegetables, a couple of coconut vendors as well. And I thought to myself, you know, these are people who were not there before, but then they would have had to, I'm assuming, make some adjustments at this time, because, you know, there's so many persons who would have lost their jobs, not just in Barbados, but we know the world over. And, you know, that adjustment to, okay, I'm sitting in an office, maybe as a some kind of a clerk or something, and then all of a sudden I'm without that sense of security, and now I have to find something to do to feed my household.
And, absolutely.
You know, that sense of adjustment from being in the comfort of an office, perhaps, to, you know, having to be, you know, selling fruits and vegetables on, you know, because you have to find some kind of way, or maybe, you know, you're good at cooking, and some people open some breakfast spot or something, or you start doing pigtails or something, you know, but you have to find some other strength that you can draw from and that you can grow from there. And there's so much that can be learned and gleaned from in this time, I think. And, you know, people see their strengths at this time and the resilience, as we would have spoken about.
And it doesn't mean that, really that those persons weren't struggling as well. You know, they will have moments of sadness and anger and disbelief.
Oh, of course, yes.
Just as everyone else would. But definitely, part of resilience is saying, look, I feel bad today, but tomorrow I'm going to get up, even if I still feel bad, and keep going.
Yes.
One foot in front of the other, 1 minute after the other, 1 hour after the other, 1 day after the other, and keep going. And things like that build, you know, you get a sense of confidence the more you keep at it. You know, so even though it's hard the first day or the first week, you keep at it and you keep at it. It becomes easier. It becomes, you know, you adapt to the new situation. And then the new situation becomes the new routine.
Yes, And we commend those who do. We commend those who, you know, take that step forward to do whatever it is that they need to get done to adjust at this time.
Take the next step, no matter how bad you feel, because some days will not be easy. But because some people think that they have to wait till they feel like doing such and such a thing. And this is not us as mental health professionals saying that feelings aren't important. They are our bread and butter. But your feelings are one aspect to your motivation. Your motivation may be something external, such as I have children to feed, I have a roof to keep over my head, I had a family member who was mentally ill and I don't want to go down that road. Whatever your motivation needs to be, and you hold on to that motivation to keep going, even if your feelings aren't up to the task.
You know, I'm listening and I'm thinking, in the light of us navigating transition, I think it's important for us to also consider or remember that it does take some time for those new behaviors, new practices to become a part of our routine. If my memory serves correct, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe somewhere between 2 to 3 months for a new habit or a new behavior, a new lifestyle really to become a norm. Hello? I'm just thinking of the importance of consistency and discipline in the light of that thing, where it isn't just
usually 21 days in order for it to become a new norm. 21 days up to 3 weeks, then it becomes a habit after, when you continually practice and rehearsal and everything.
I guess I'm thinking the importance of being consistent and disciplined at that thing we put our hands to. Just for the purpose of coming out on the other side of this, I want to say not just the best version of yourself, but most efficient or most productive, really. Because you don't just want to, I'm thinking, I don't want to change for changing's sake. I want to change and be a better because of the process, better because of what I've experienced.
And while you were mentioning consistency, I think that is the hardest part. Because one day might be good, next day might be horrible, and you might not even try again. So it's to try again, even though those days might not be the same consistently. So the consistency will be the trying, putting in the effort, the trying to get accustomed eventually.
Well, I think whatever it is that we're going to do, you know, we have to work at it. Success, you know, they say success comes before work only in the dictionary. You know, you have to work in order to be successful, whether it's finding your new identity, as Dr. June Price Humphrey mentioned earlier, we're finding your new strength, and just know that there is light at the end of the tunnel. After every major transition, you can work to make them to be light at the end of the tunnel. Sometimes we go over or go through our challenges the way we view them, and you know, just know that it's going to be better. Just put your head to it and work at it, and, you know, it will get better. Yeah.
And in this time, it's also really good to find what works best for you. Like, what is your way of coping? How do you feel at your best? So we now have more time to go to the beach. It's going on mornings, it's better for you. We now have the flexibility of coming on evenings as well. Going to the beach, playing with the sun, taking a run on the beach. Whatever you think makes you feel at ease in order to adjust is the best thing to practice right now.
Ladies, I'd like to find out about the older barbarians now. There is a feeling that most of us are able to grin and bear it, to accept difficulties, unpleasant situations. Is that really so, though? And should we expect older barbarians not to be challenged in this regard? Maybe we can hear. Yes, from Dr. June?
Yes. Many persons, irrespective of their age, can find it challenging. There's some who will say that because you're older, you have a bit more wisdom and experience, and you recognize that this too shall pass. But then there's some older persons who do not adapt to change very well. And so for them, they have done it this way for 20, 30 years, and they don't want to be given 20 or 30 days to suddenly, find a new way. Similarly, there's some young persons for whom, because, you know, the world is their oyster, anything can happen. So shut down today, fine. Open back up tomorrow, fine. And then there's some youngsters for whom they depend on the stability of the environment around them, whether it's family or friends or school or extracurricular or art. And that has been away from them. So it really depends on the person itself and how they see their future to be. If you can see your future as being hopeful and that, you know, tomorrow will be brighter, and if tomorrow's not brighter, I will make it brighter. Whether you are younger and just optimistic or older and wiser, that's what you will do. And if you see your future as uncertain and I don't know what to do, if you doubt your own skills and resilience, then change can be a burden.
But what do you do as the professionals? Do you indicate the person's look? Let's look to the future. Let's look to a brighter future. Is that fair to say to someone in a situation like this where we do not know really how tomorrow is going to be? Is it then acceptable to say to persons, look, the future is good. You will be better by this time next year?
No, you don't say to persons the future is good.
Okay.
Go ahead.
But is there something that you said that made me, that I would tell them? So like how you were saying, let me look at next year, I'm going to say, well, take it one step at a time. Let's go each day by day, mm-hmm. and let's monitor that instead of looking so far ahead. Because mm-hmm. sometimes just taking those baby steps, you're able to cope better than thinking, oh, what's going to happen next year? Are we going to have a summer next year? Am I going to go back to school? All of that worrying. If you just take it one day, see how today goes, then we deal with tomorrow, and then deal with the next day as it comes, it feels much more manageable than worrying about so far ahead, especially in a time of uncertainty.
And I would also add to that, when you tell people everything's going to be okay and it isn't, you undermine their confidence in themselves. Mm-hmm. Because, look, the professional told me everything is going to be okay and it wasn't, something must be wrong with me. Or it may undermine their trust in you as well. So you don't say to someone everything's going to be okay. But what you do is guide them into seeing, what are my skills? What's my skill set? In what way could I make the best of the situation that I'm in now? So that even with ups and downs, there's something within them that they can hold on to.
Right. And in agreement, understanding that if you have that skill set and that strength, if it's good, like I hear old people always say, Tuesday come on a Saturday, you're still able to cope with whatever change because you have that skill set mm-hmm. that you're able to adjust this place.
There must be concern, though, for those persons who, during this process of having to adjust, may choose to use illegal drugs, may want to have more of whatever they've been leaning upon. how do you help them now? Because after all, whatever they're using makes them feel better.
Mm-hmm. We want or even overdosing on legal ones. To first of all, that the things that make you feel better only temporarily and give you a quick boost sometimes are not good for you in the long run. I say sometimes, because going for a run or a walk is a good way of getting yourself boosted. Smoking and drinking, not so much a good way, because when that sensation goes, what do you lean on? Your neurons, even the transmitters in your brain, have become accustomed to extra substances. So in times of stress, when persons may think to themselves, oh, it'd be great to have a glass of wine or a bottle. And there's lots of memes on the internet nowadays about having a large glass of something or a shot of something. But that's actually counterproductive.
May I add that in a fast-paced world, you know, people see, especially in the world of social media, we see people who are, quote-unquote, getting along really well in this transitional period. And it may not necessarily be so. And we want to tend to get from A to Z in a few seconds and not remember that it takes time, as the doctors were saying earlier. I would say to that, don't discredit the baby steps. Because, you know, people tend to look at others and say, well, they're so far along, seemingly, and compare themselves with those who seem to be far along and discredit the progress that they themselves have made. So, you know, when we look to our own strengths, as we're talking about, you know, and not discredit the baby steps of progress that we're making, I think it'll be easier on our state of mind as well.
Our time is almost through, and I'll give a moment for Dr. Joan and then Ms. Latifa Hines to have their final say before we wrap up.
My final word would be that in this this season of transition, often of these things we find better ways of doing things. Great inventions and great personal strides usually come after a time of stress. If you can hold on and hone your skill set and your confidence and resilience. So we can come out of this difficult time better, but it's up to each one of us individually.
I agree, and I would like to also encourage others who might, even social media, watching others, think about your own journey. Realize that taking baby steps is okay, realizing that not every day is going to be the same, but keep going.
Thank you. And Crystal J?
Yes, well, you know, just to reiterate what was said earlier, that we all have strengths and that we can draw from at this time. Personally, I believe that everybody has a gift, at least one gift, that they can use to really help themselves get back on their feet at this time. And they can use that gift in even many ways. So let's just look in ourselves and appreciate what we have and build on it. Yeah.
Thank you so very much. We want to thank Ms. Latifa Hines for joining the team this week, clinical psychologist. And we look forward to having Dr. June Price Humphrey back with us again next week. And then, of course, Krista J and our friend John Yard, who's just rushed off to life. Thank you so very much. And you guys continue to stay safe.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. Good day. Thank you.